And she is popularly known as Dr. Edith Best, and she has a doctorate in education and a master's in school administration, both from the University of North Carolina. So Mataji has been running a school as well, and she is her book Vaikuntha Children is one of the books which really guided me during my early days in in knowing about child psychology in ISKCON, and it actually gave a guideline on how to teach children and what to do. We use that book during our early days, and I think my daughter still uses that book as well. So to train children, and it helps her. Mataji has been has made a lot of contribution where the education part of it has been concerned in ISKCON, and she is one of our pioneers, and she is a guide to all of us, and we have to take a lot of inspiration from her. So without much ado, we hand over the mic to Barbara class will be given by Mataji.
His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai, Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai, Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai, Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutal Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vikamscha Panchakalpa Jubischa Kripa Sindhu Vyebacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevi Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's December 16th, 2023 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation, Text 55. So we don't have a verse on a board, but maybe some of you can find the verse on your phone. 6:14:55. Nahi kramaschad iham ritu janmano. Again, this is 6:14:55. Sari vinamastu tadatma karma bhi. Yasneha paso nija sarga vridhaye. Swayam kritaste tam imam vivrichchasi. Nahi kramaschad iham ritu janmano. Sari vinamastu tadatma karma bhi. Yasneha Pasho Nija Sarga Vridhaye. Swayam Kritaste Tam Imam Vivichchasi. Somebody likes his chant? Any of the men have a phone? Would you like to chant? Anyone? Any of the ladies? None. Not. He. Indeed. Kramaha. Chronological order. Chet. If. Iha. In this material world. Mrityu, of death, Janmanho, and of birth, Sharirinam, of the conditioned souls who have accepted material bodies, Astu, let it be, Tat, that, Atmakarma Bihi, by the results of one's karma or fruit of activities, Yaha, that which, sneha pashaha, bondage of affection, nija sarga, your own creation, vridhaye, to increase, swayam, personally, krita, made, te, by you, tam, that, imam, this, vivichchasi, you are cutting. Srila Prabhupada's translation. So this is Chitraketu's wife crying over her dead son. And she's speaking to Krishna. She's speaking to God. Of course, he's not standing in front of her. But just like we are in some distress. Yes, something bad happens to us. And we say, Krishna, why did you do this? Yes? So that's what she's doing. So she's giving some very good logic here. Srila Prabhupada's translation. My Lord, you may say that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father. Since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruit of activity. However, so she's saying, first of all, maybe there's a law that men must produce children and that the children outlive the fathers, that the fathers die before the son. She says, maybe there's a law, but maybe there's no law. Since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruit of activity. So she says, maybe there's no law because it's individual karma. Okay. However, if fruit of activity is so strong that birth and death depend on it, there is no need of a controller or God. Now, if everything's karma, then why do we need God? Just automatic. Again, if you say that a controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, so if you need a God to push the button, like Prabhupada would always say, you need a living being to push the button on the machine. Yes? One may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created, anybody remember the Sanskrit from the verse for the bonds of affection? Yes, yes, someone said. Sneha is affection and the bonds? Pasaha. There's another very famous verse in the Bhagavatam that has the word sneha pasa. Anybody know? Very, very famous. Prabhupada quotes it a lot. No? So we'll get there if you can't remember. One may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruit of action, no one will raise children with affection. Because they'll think, well, I'll raise my child with affection and then my child will die. What is the point? No one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. Do we often think we know better than Krishna how to run our life? Yes? Do we think, Krishna, if you were really smart, you would run my life like this? Do we sometimes think like that? Yes? Yes? No? You don't understand my question? People are always praying to God to have their life run differently, correct? That means they think they know better, correct? Okay, God, you should run my life like this and like this and like this. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now, Prabhupada's going to pick up basically just one thing from the verse to talk about in his purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, karmadi nirdahati kintu chabakti bhajan, one who has taken to Krishna consciousness devotional service is not affected by the results of karma. Now, the reason he's talking about this is that she is saying, why do we need a god if there's karma? And if you are running things beyond karma, you don't know what you're doing. And so Prabhupada's picking up on the fact that God can function and does function beyond karma. In this verse, going on with the purport, in this verse, karma has been stressed on the basis of karma mimamsa philosophy, which says that one must act according to his karma and that a supreme controller must give the results of karma. The subtle laws of karma, which are controlled by the Supreme, cannot be understood by ordinary conditioned souls. And I think that's a very important point, which we will return to. Therefore, Krishna says that one who can understand him and how he is acting, controlling everything by subtle laws, immediately becomes freed by his grace. Well, what's that Bhagavad Gita verse? Anyone who understands how Krishna's working becomes free. What's that Bhagavad Gita verse? No, it's fourth chapter. Anyone who understands Krishna's activities becomes liberated. What's that verse? Very famous verse. Excellent. Can we all say it together? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata tvaktva deham punar janma naiti mai eti sorjuna. If we know that Krishna's activities are divine, we are immediately liberated. Going on with this purport, that is the statement of Brahma Samhita, karmadi nirdahati kintu chabakti bhajam. So Srila Prabhupada is relating this Brahma Samhita verse to the Bhagavad Gita verse. He's not quoting the Bhagavad Gita verse. But when he's saying, therefore, Krishna says, it has to be Bhagavad Gita, yes? Because Krishna is not speaking the Brahma Samhita. One should take to devotional service without reservations and surrender everything to the supreme will of the Lord. That will make one happy in this life and the next. So where did that come from? Why is Prabhupada putting that there? Because when you understand how Krishna's activities are divine, you will accept his will. That's the proof of the understanding. If you just say, I understand with my brain, but you act differently, then you're not really understanding. Does that make sense to everybody? Yeah? Okay. Nahi kramas chari hamritu janmano saririnam astu taratma karma bihi yasneha pasho nijasarga vriddaye swayam pritaste tam imam vivichtasi. What's the words again for ties of affection? Sneha pasa. Prabhupada's translation again, my Lord, you may say that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father, since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruitive activity. However, if fruitive activity is so strong that birth and death depend on it, there's no need for a controller or God. Again, if you say that a controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, one may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruit of action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. So I actually know of someone, not a devotee. So she married a man who was a widower. His wife had died, and he had already two daughters from his first wife who had passed away. So she married him, and together they had a son and two daughters. So when her first daughter was 2 years old and her second daughter was an infant, the two-year-old somehow ran out of the yard of the house. And while she was taking, she had a little baby, like 2-month-old baby, so she was taking care of the baby. And the two-year-old ran out of the yard of the house and went to a construction site and fell in some water and drowned. So recently, my daughter was talking to the younger daughter, who's now like 65 years old. And she was saying, she said, my mother never showed me any affection. And she never showed any affection to the older children after her daughter died. So because she had a two-year-old that died, she thought, what is the use of being affectionate to my children? I am going to be affectionate to my children and simply they will die. Especially at 2 years old. 2 years old, one devotee photographer told me that 2 years old is the pinnacle of cuteness. That is when the human is the most adorable, is 2 years old. So your two-year-old dies. And we see this phenomena happening many times in different areas. You know, someone's husband dies or wife dies, and then I'll never love anybody. What is the use of loving anybody? And they try to cut off their affection. We've seen this, yes? Or someone gets cheated, doesn't have to be death, you know, someone cheats you. And then you think, I will never trust anybody anymore, I'll never have any affection for anyone anymore, and people cut off their feelings. So she's giving this logic. Now actually she's trying to understand, yes? She's grieving intensely. Her child has just died. She doesn't know why the child has died now, but the child has just died, and she's full of intense grief. Kritta dutti. So she's trying to understand. She's trying to do something about these intense feelings of grief. Just like we try to understand when something terrible happens to us. Correct? And if you live long enough in this world, something terrible will happen to you. I can give you a guarantee. Yeah? All you have to do is live long enough. Somebody you love will die. Correct? Guaranteed. Somebody will cheat you. Am I correct? Yes, somebody will disappoint you. You'll get some illness right when you wanted to do something. I really want to do this. You'll get some illness. You'll lose some money. Things will happen that are painful. And we will try to understand them. We will try to understand the will of God and the hand of God. So we will look at her logic, and then we will go beyond logic, and then we will try to have freedom and happiness, because Prabhupada's talking about how we can be happy in this life and the next. And I think sometimes this point is neglected by devotees. They think dukhalayam shastratam means in this life I have to be miserable. It's the rule, dukhalayam, I must be miserable. But no, if one is in Krishna consciousness, one will not be miserable. And we are going to be, we have two books here, how to be happy in this life and the next. One we will teach tomorrow morning, how to see Krishna in the fan, how to see Krishna in the heat, how to see Krishna in the trees, how to see everywhere there's Krishna. And we have another book, how to make your work as blissful as chanting Hare Krishna, how to make your work full of joy. So if we understand beyond logic, we will become happy, not only after death, go back to Godhead after death, but even now, even in this miserable world, we will not have to be miserable. Does that sound nice? Yes, okay. So we'll look at her logic. She says there should be a law. There should be a law that parents die first. Right? That should be a law. Parents have to die first. One of my sisters died while both my parents were still living. She was in her 60s. She died of cancer. And I remember my father coming from the funeral, and he said, no one should ever have to bury their child. We think like that. It's wrong. Something's wrong. Yes? Recently, this year, my 24-year-old grandson died in a motorcycle accident. And when I saw my son having to light the cremation fire, I felt something's wrong in the universe. I felt like my clothes were on inside out and upside down and backwards. There's something was wrong. And no parent should have to light the fire for their child. You know, if you see in the news some parent is crying over their dead child, something's wrong. This isn't how it's supposed to be. And when I was at my grandson's funeral, I thought, this is wrong. My grandchildren should be going to my funeral, not that I should be going to their funeral. So she said, there should be a law. But we know it's not like that. It happens. Accidents, disease, war, happens. So she says, maybe there's not a law. And she says, maybe there's not a law. Okay. So things sometimes work opposite to the way we think they should work. Okay. We'll accept that. She's saying that's because there's a law of karma and reincarnation. And so sometimes we get the opposite of the way we think things should be because we've done something wrong. Someone's done something wrong in some other lifetime, in some other way, and there's some law of karma working here. So we still have a law. You follow? Does everyone understand? There's still a law. There's still a rule. You could say there should be a rule that no parent ever has to go to the funeral of a child. There should be such a rule. But, okay, there could be a higher rule that there's karma. But that's still a rule. And then we know if I follow the rule, I will get such and such result. Actually, materialists, this is their whole way of thinking. Let's figure out the material rules, and if we could just figure out the material rules, then we would be happy. This is the whole basis of modern science. If we can just figure out how everything works. Just like where I'm staying, there's a shower, and it took me quite a while to figure out how to work the shower. I had a very funny knob. I just trying this knob and that knob and this. And if I can just figure out how it works, then I can take a shower. So we're thinking like that with the whole world. If I can just figure it out. And there's millions of books and courses how to figure out the world. So you'll have a perfect job, a perfect marriage, perfect health. Am I correct? And they're advertising like that. Just pay us $2,000 and we will show you how everything can, we'll show you the rules. Six rules. Three rules. You just follow these. But she's saying, if there's just rules, we don't need God. Then it's just a machine that works by rules. And so this is what the atheists and the materialists say. We just want to figure out the rules. Then we can control the machine. You understand? We don't need a God to control the machine. She says, well, if you say there has to be a God to control the machine, okay, we will accept that a machine cannot work independently. Because the atheists say, it's just a machine and I will learn how to control it, correct? But the theists, they often say, there's a machine and God is controlling it. And then she says, but if you are controlling it, you don't know what you're doing. You're controlling it wrong. Because if God is controlling the machine, he can also make it work differently than the laws of karma. Am I correct? He can say, well, you should have had this karma, but I'm going to make this change for you. So Prabhupada says in this purport that these laws of material nature, that we cannot understand them. Even just the karmic laws are much too complicated for us to understand. Even if you do some past life regression and ask some astrologer, why did this happen, why did that? It's very, very, very complicated. Krishna compares it to an upside down what? Banyan tree. Is a banyan tree complicated? Yes? Especially big ones. You have banyan trees here, yes? So they get very, very big. And when they're very big, can you see where the original trunk is? No. If you try to untangle the branches and the roots of a banyan tree, is that possible? Impossible. Just like you know Alexander the Great, when he was conquering, he was told there's this knot, this Gordian knot, anyone who unties it will conquer the world. And nobody could untie it. So what did he do, you know? Anyone know? He took his sword and he just went and he conquered the world. So that's what Krishna says to do to this banyan tree. Just cut it down with knowledge and detachment. Because you can't untangle it. We cannot understand. The workings of karma are very intricate. And you add to that that there's a person, Krishna, and he may make decisions different than karma. Just like any ordinary judge. Why in the court is there a judge? What is the need of a judge? If you want just someone to apply the laws to the courtroom, you could just have a bailiff. You don't need a judge. Why do you have a judge? The judge can decide how to apply the law. You understand? The judge can say, okay, we're going to give you another chance. I used to take my high school students to see court cases, and I would see this sometimes. The judge would say, this is your third chance to go to drug rehabilitation. If you miss this chance, 15 years jail, but I will give you one more chance. So he could adjust the law for that person. You follow? And someone else, he could say, no, you get full penalty. So in the universe, it's not only Krishna, Yamaraj, so many of the devas, they can adjust karma. Even the demons know this. They pray to the demigods like they pray to Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, and they can adjust karma. Only Krishna can free you from karma, but the demigods can make some adjustment. So how can we understand all this, all the complicated laws, and how Krishna's making an adjustment? So she's saying, if you're making an adjustment, you don't know what you're doing. Because if children die in the presence of their parents, the parents will not want to care for their children anymore. And she's right, actually. It happens. It does happen. People become hardened. Not everybody, obviously, but it happens to people. She's observing something. People will neglect their children. If they think my child will not live anyway, why bother? And Prabhupada writes elsewhere that being captivated by the activities of their children, that parents take great care for their well-being. This is true even in the animal species. So without some affection for children, because any of you who are parents, you know taking care of children is not always easy, yes? They are very cute and then they are not very cute 1 minute later. So one has to have some affection. Yes. So Prabhupada's saying here to understand that Krishna can give benefit or punishment beyond karma. And that if we understand that, we can become liberated. That God has will beyond karma. Karma is his rule, but he has will beyond his rule. All right, now I asked you where else in the Bhagavatam it has the word snehapasa. Has anyone remembered? Okay, I'll give you a little hint. It's in the first canto. It's also a verse spoken by a woman. It's also a verse spoken about affection to family. But it's asking Krishna the opposite thing. Queen Kunti. And she's talking to Krishna face to face. And she says, Krishna, please cut the snehapasa. So here, Krita Duti is saying, why did you do something that's going to cut the snehapasa? And Kunti says, please cut the snehapasa. Please cut the ties of affection. Does that mean Kunti wants to be hard-hearted? Is Kunti asking to be hard-hearted? No. Devotee cannot be hard-hearted. Srila Rupa Goswami describes that the devotee's heart is very soft. And he describes degrees of advancement in relationship to degrees of soft-heartedness. And the most advanced devotee, the heart is always flowing like nectar. He says that the devotee can have a heart like gold, like butter, or like nectar. Gold melts at very high temperatures, butter melts at low temperatures, and nectar is already melted. And the most advanced devotee, they have a heart like nectar. So Queen Kunti was not saying, cut this snehapasa so that I will become hard-hearted like a stone. So Krishna's actions are for ultimate benefit. What happens to Krita Duti here? Does she get ultimate benefit from this whole story? Does she get Krishna consciousness? Yes, everybody does, actually. Chitraketu does, although Chitraketu has an interesting story, doesn't he? He becomes the leader of the Vidyadharas, he becomes a great demigod, and he's taking a lady's traveling Sankirtan party all around the universe. And then he is teasing Lord Shiva, and from that he becomes a demon body, demoniac form. He doesn't actually become a demon, but he gets a demoniac form, and he's fighting for this on the side of the demons against Indra. And then he goes back to Godhead. So Chitraketu gets ultimate benefit. His wife Krita Duti gets ultimate benefit. And all the other queens, even the ones who murdered the boy, they also. You know, sometimes we take something away from a child to give them something better, yes? Here, give me that, so I can give you this. And when their hands are full of the bad thing, they can't get the better thing. So in 1976, Srila Prabhupada came to New York for the first Rath Yatra, and I was sitting in the, we were having darshan with Prabhupada. It was my father, my husband, myself, and our oldest son, Devesh's father, who was like 1.5 at the time, and he was sitting in my lap. And Srila Prabhupada said, just like this mother is loving her son without any expectation of return, in the same way one should love Krishna. And my father said, will loving her son help her to love Krishna? And Prabhupada said, no. But loving Krishna will help her to love her son. So Krishna is not trying to cut the snehapasa. He's trying to give us the actual snehapasa. When I try to love jivas independently of Krishna, what happens? Do I get disappointed? Have we all gotten disappointed trying to love living entities independently of Krishna? Yes? Everyone has gotten disappointed or no? Sometimes you think, this person's driving me crazy. They don't appreciate me. They don't understand me. And sometimes they get frustrated with you. You're trying your best to help them and they're just frustrated with you. Correct? You get some nice thing for somebody, you work really hard, and then they don't like it. They don't appreciate it. Maybe they don't even notice it. And even if you have a perfect relationship with somebody where you're never frustrated with them and they're never frustrated with you, somebody dies. That's even worse. If you could have some perfect relationship where 100% of the time you were happy with the other person and 100% of the time they were happy with you, then when they die, you would be devastated. Am I correct? So it's frustrating. And another jiva cannot fulfill all your desires. Is that correct? Yes? If you think this, my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my mother, my father, my boss, my employee, my somebody, is going to be able to go eko bahunam yovidadati kaman, they'll be everything for me. They cannot because they're a little jiva. You follow? They can't do it. Like the battery on your phone, it cannot run all the electricity in this room. It's too small. We're too small. So I will disappoint you, you will disappoint me. Because we're not Krishna. Yeah? So when I try to love everyone independently, I am simply frustrated. But if I love Krishna because Krishna includes everyone, then naturally I love everyone. And please listen very carefully. My love of them satisfies me, regardless of how I am treated in return. My loving is satisfying for me. My own love fills me with such joy that how they reciprocate with me doesn't matter to me. I mean, externally, I may still say, why did you leave your wet clothes in your bag for a week and now they stink? Why didn't you give me the laundry to do? Okay? Prabhupada would still get externally annoyed with devotees if they did something foolish. But your internal sense of happiness is not affected. Because when we're so full of love for Krishna, and we feel Krishna's love for us, we don't need the love of any other living entity. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. He has no need to depend on any other living being. And when we don't need the love of any jiva, it's not that we become hard-hearted, but that we become full of compassion and full of affection for everyone. So we want to have the right kind of rope of affection. The snehapasa, like Krishna is called Damodar, he's tied up with a rope. Yes? What if this rope is his mother's affection? In the Madhava Mahotsava of Srila Jiva Goswami, when Radharani is crowned the queen of Vrindavana, she says, may all those who are bound become liberated. And her friends start to cry. And they say, we are bound to you with affection. We don't want to be liberated. The devotee prefers being bound to affection to Krishna to being liberated in the Brahman with no affection at all. So when we understand this, when we understand that Krishna's activities are divyam, the law of karma is just these different ropes of attachment and aversion in this world. Like Chitraketu will say, this child must have been my enemy in another life, and it came as my son briefly and then died to give me pain. And Prabhupada said, yes, that was a fact. This child was actually his enemy in another life. How can I cause him maximum pain? Oh, good. I will become his child, and when I am 2 years old, I will die, and I will break his heart. Interesting, isn't it? In another life, the jiva that was Chitraketu hated this jiva, and now in this life, the jiva is loving this jiva. So these ropes of attachment and aversion, that we want to cut, my dear friends. You follow? That's the complicated roots and branches of the banyan tree. I like this person, I hate this person. I like this thing, I hate this thing. Attachment and aversion. By the way, we don't get rid of attachment and aversion by repression. Repression is another aversion. You understand? If I try to repress my attachment, that simply creates aversion, which is another rope. We are tied to this world by what we hate as much as by what we love. If I hate you enough that I want to make you suffer in another life, I have to come back also to make you suffer. You follow? And we cut that rope by having the superior rope. And that is a rope, my friends, of freedom. Because when I have this rope of affection to the Lord, I am completely free. The Lord is free to do as He likes, and the jiva, who is attached to the Lord, the jiva who is attached to the Lord in love is also free to do whatever they like. And they are not bound by the laws of karma. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's only two rules in the spiritual world. Have love and don't envy. So when we understand this secret of higher affection, then we become free. We become free of everything that binds us to this world. Naturally. We naturally have no interest in it. It's just like if you have samosas, you're not interested in a chapati. You follow? You have something better, you're not interested in something. What to speak of a 3-day-old chapati? I mean, if you're very, 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 very hungry and there's nothing to eat, then a 3-day-old chapati is very interesting. Yes? Ah, something to eat. But if you have a big feast, puris and samosas and gulab jamuns, and someone brings you a 3-day-old chapati, you have no attachment, you have no aversion. You're just neutral. It's nothing. It has no, and then you are free. So this is the secret. This is the secret. And Krita Dutti is not understanding. She thinks that in order to take care of her son, she has to be bound by material affection. But if I am bound by spiritual affection, I will actually be a better mother, a better father, a better husband, better wife, better son, better daughter, because I will be doing it not to please the other jiva, but to please Krishna. And Krishna can always be pleased by intention and effort. Yes. All right. So, questions, comments, additions, subtractions, objections, chastisements. Everybody's just hungry. Any comments or questions at all? Okay, well, thank you. It's